Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I'm getting drunk on a plane.
All right, Kirk Bankstad is here with us as well. He didn't pick the song, but he might just as well have. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us for a few minutes as well. She's about to give a talk to a bunch of perinatologists, and it reminds me that last night I watched the brand new stand-up routine from Patton Oswalt on Netflix. I think it's called We All Scream. Patton Oswalt basically giving the riff I would give you every morning about what it's like to grow old and literally be falling apart. At one point, he starts to ask the audience what they do and tries to make little comedy bits out of them. And he gets to like this perinatal neurologist or something like that who saves babies for a living. And he looks right at her and says, "That's comedy death. I can't make fun of anything that you do. You're saving babies' lives." Goes to the next guy. "What do you do?" "I prosecute sex offenders." "Oh, let's talk for a while, shall we?" So you're talking to all these perinatal folks today because the comedians, they don't find any material in what you're doing today, Kristen.
Oh my gosh. No, you know, it is such a privilege to be here. I'm in Green Bay at the conference for the Wisconsin Association for Perinatal Care and the Wisconsin Perinatal Quality Collaborative. These are the folks, lots of nurses, doctors, support staff that really are dedicated to making sure that we have excellent outcomes for moms and babies and families here in Wisconsin.
Now, Kristen, you've been kind of one of the biggest spokespeople for what's happening in Wisconsin, talking about how reproductive rights have been taken away from us. It's hard to be a member of the healthcare community, to be an OBGYN, to be a nurse, and to talk about this because hospitals have a lot of rules about, you know, kind of being out there and being kind of public and they don't want to be in the spotlight. How do you feel about how outspoken you've been?
Well, first off, let's make sure she lives by the credo, nobody puts baby in a corner. So nobody's going to tell her what she can and can't say. So with that set up, Kristen, why are you so brave and mouthy?
Well, I am not working for a large hospital organization. I'm an independent contractor, and I'm also a spokesperson for the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, as well as Planned Parenthood when they need me. So I am not tethered the way that a lot of the docs who work for the Medical College of Wisconsin or the University of Wisconsin, they have to be really careful because of their institutional affiliations. And I understand that, but they do have things that they want to say and things that they want to share. And they do it as carefully and as boldly as they can, given the constraints that they have.
Now, I just wanted to, you're way more positive than me generally, on a daily basis.
Generally, absolutely.
When we talk about stuff. So the Menaco Brewing Company Super PAC is starting to air some advertisements in all these new rural stations that, you know, we started in Bull Falls. We're doing this in Wausau, but we're moving on to Richland Center, Wisconsin Rapids, Hayward, Amory, a lot of rural parts of Wisconsin that's the reason we started our, you know, show, you know, a couple years ago, the Up North podcast. While you're the voice of reminding people that folks like Jimmy Boy Edmings in Clark County will get reelected because the areas have been gerrymandered so wildly that there's nobody that's going to, no Democrats can win those seats. But guys like him are opposed to abortion in all cases, including rape and incest. And you're reminding people that Tony Evers is the only person that will stand up for them in these very rural areas. And I thank you for being the voice of those ads.
Oh, thank you for letting me be the voice in those ads. Rural Wisconsin is my love. My favorite thing is to be out in some of these rural hospitals, helping people find the resources that they need, answering their questions so that they can live their best possible lives. And they are always the ones that get the short end of the stick. So to be able to be that voice on your behalf and encourage people to get out there and vote for Tony Evers, who, let's be very honest, Tony Evers is the person who will protect our reproductive rights here in Wisconsin. Tim Michaels has been very bold about saying he will not. We have got to reelect Tony Evers. We've got to reelect Attorney General Call. They are critical backstops for women and families in this state, especially in our vulnerable rural communities. So thank you, Kirk. Thank you for your investment.
Well, and it is a great investment, and it is a great message, because if somebody knows that their state senator or state assembly rep or whatever has no Democratic opponent, and that is the case in some districts, there may be write-ins, but in some cases there's no, they may think, well, you know, why bother? It's such a heavy Republican area. And as we say all the time, you can't gerrymander a state. So that's why, you know, Democrats and progressives have won 11 of the last 12 statewide elections. So while you may not get a different legislator, you can at least maybe get a different U.S. senator and keep the governor that you like.
Absolutely, you can. And we have to. We've got to get out and vote.
Yep.
And so rural Kristen, folks. Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead, Kirk.
Rural folks in Wisconsin. Biden only won by 20,000 votes. Like, every vote counts. And even if you've got a ton of Trump signs, and every single neighbor has got Trump signs and Michael signs,
doesn't matter.
Your vote matters, and you can't feel overwhelmed by the fact you live in Trump country. You just got to get out there and vote.
That's right. Every one of them matters. Uh-huh. So thank you for doing that. Go in and do your panel discussion, and we'll have a longer visit with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have fun without me.
Well, we never do, but we'll do our best. Thanks, Kristen.
Bye.
More with Kirk, and then later, State Representative Evan Goyke. You're up north. Normally the part of Dr. Lyerly could stay around where we'd see, you know, some kind of shake it off type of dancing. But instead, I believe Mr. Bankstead has picked this in response to all the negative ads and negative campaigning that's going on out there. From a group, from a party that is not only running negative ads, but is trying so hard to prevent people from voting. Most recently, they got a and now a Waukesha County judge has ruled that, you know, an absentee ballot could be challenged even if it's just missing the zip code on the witness address on the back of the envelope. That could lead to your ballot being put in the shredder. So a student-run group that organizes voter mobilization efforts has filed suit seeking an order that would bar local clerks from rejecting absentee ballots if a witness left off a bit of their address. The suit filed yesterday seeks a declaration that a witness address is complete so long as it provides information necessary to reasonably discern the location where the witness may be communicated with, which seems to make Kirk common sense, but we got to fight this all in court because we have a political class that is working so hard to prevent Americans from voting rather than encouraging voting.
So, I mean, it's anybody who's an idealistic person in this country it's got to just be shaking their head. I mean, you only people. I mean, cynicism has ruled the day for the Republican Party, and the reason I say that is, it's unfortunately analysis has shown that if you are running behind race and your ideas aren't popular, or you're running neck and neck, negative ads will turn the dial more than just being positive. The only time you're supposed to be positive is if you're kind of winning by a big percentage. I mean, this is the math and the decisions that campaigns make. It's not right, though. It's not right for anybody idealistic. Any kid who was in college like me who is majoring in political science is like, I want the best ideas to win. I want people to fight on ideas, and I want people to vote on what ideas will help them the most. And so not only are they not battling ideas, they're trying to take each other down because that's the way to win if you're a neck and neck race. They're also the other way to win in a neck and neck race is to restrict voting, which is what they're doing. So restricting voting, negative ads, everything negative and bad in our political system. Now, I'm not saying Democrats don't do this, especially Democrats in heavily Democratic areas like Chicago, New York, et cetera. I mean, they play these dirty tactics as well. But in Wisconsin, We're seeing it in a huge way in the Republican Party, because they know they're in the minority and they just don't want people to vote. And that's the only way they can win.
And so to that end, the city of Milwaukee, for example, has made their announcements on early voting locations, and it's going to include Fiserv Forum, where the Milwaukee Bucks play, again, on 6 different days leading up to the election, where the mayor, Cavalier Johnson, and others say people who live in Milwaukee can come there to cast a ballot. It's an ideal early voting location. That way, it reflects the voters' preferences for centrally located familiar landmarks, which also include libraries and shopping centers. And yet Republicans have made noise about going to court, just like they did in 2020 when Fiserv Forum and American Family Field were going to be early voting locations, but then weren't because of threats to a lawsuit. Again, threatening a lawsuit because you're encouraging early voting from a group that is still attacking something called Democracy in the Park in Madison, a literal celebration of democracy and helping encouraging early voting is something that Republicans have continued to try to cast suspicion on, even though, again, there was no fraud. There was nothing untoward. In fact, it would work better if Republicans joined in on this and said, hey, it doesn't matter what party you're in. We want you to come vote because that's what America is about. What a refreshing message that would be, Kirk.
We had, you know, last hour we talked about deflection and projection. And what projection, the definition is like, if you feel bad about something that you've done, you project that action onto your loved one, you know, so that, you know, psychologically you don't feel as bad about what you've done. Well, in the political sense, projection is, talking about fraudulent elections in Wisconsin. Ron Johnson, you know, and Tim Michaels and most of the state Republicans in Wisconsin saying over and over again, our elections can't be trusted. But then Ron Johnson, handing a false slate of electors, from Michigan and Wisconsin to Mike Pence. The definition of election fraud occurred at a grand level in the United States with an attempted overthrow of our country and a presidential coup. These guys are projecting election nefarious election stuff when they are the ones actually figuring out how to screw with our elections in America.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be joined by State Representative Evan Goyke in our next half hour. He's one of the state legislators who has spoken up and really spoken out forcefully about various Republican efforts to either suppress voting or to campaign, to fight dirty in what can, I think, accurately be called, racist themes in campaign ads that are running. And, as we've said before, they're used because they work, and it doesn't exactly cast, people in the best light when they go along with it. But again, this is what we have on our TVs right now. And so all you can really do is what Representative Goyke and others are doing, and that's calling it out, because you're fighting a mountain of money. WisPolitics is just reporting this morning that Tim Michaels pumped another $5 million of his own money into his own campaign over the past 30-plus day period. So that means, according to campaign finance reports, he has put in about $16 million of his own money. True man of the people, Connecticut businessman, Tim Michaels. I mean, again, what would you and I do if we had $16 million that we could light on fire like that? Think of the good that you could do with that. And it's not that Tim Michaels hasn't donated to charities and nonprofits. It's just that the ones that he's donated to, like, harass women at clinics, spy on their cell phones, and try to beam messages to those phones about abortion. I mean, just sick, twisted stuff that the anti-choice groups are engaged in. He's giving them thousands upon thousands of dollars, but still has $16 million of his own to pour into a gubernatorial campaign. That's, that's the state of politics right now.
So, and we're going to talk about dirty campaigns and how Evan Goyke and Chris Larson and a bunch of other progressives in Milwaukee are fighting that, because basically the dirty tactics are about crime in Milwaukee, which you know, it's not like crime is being created out of thin air. There's always crime in Milwaukee. Crime has risen as part of because of the pandemic. You know, there's but these this issue is always there. Now it's, as you said, $16 million on Michael's side, probably an equal amount or more on Johnson's side, is being funneled into Wisconsin to make this issue way bigger than it was just months ago. But they're doing it in a way that's really nefarious and largely racist, because we have a black candidate running against Johnson. Now, why are we, though, talking about crime? And why is Johnson specifically, Ron Johnson specifically, talking about crime when he has actually been part of government for the last 12 years? You know, if there's anybody going to do anything about crime, it's going to be the people that, you know, if there's a mandate, you know, of a politician to do something about crime, he hasn't done anything. If he's talking about crime, the reason he's talking about crime is because this guy is a guy that told you to gargle Listerine to get rid of the COVID. You know, he's the guy that said take a horse dewormer in order to get rid of COVID. Like, he has said those such crazy things over the course of his 12-year reign as Wisconsin senator that he cannot talk about his record, because if he did, people would laugh. People would remember the clown that he was, the insidious clown. He's like the Joker in Batman. Like, he's not just a clown, he's also a criminal clown. And so if he talked about his record, he would, he can't talk about his record. So he's got to focus on somehow Mandela Barnes is soft on crime, when the guy's been lieutenant governor and hasn't really been able to, you know, vote on funneling money to, you know, to community, you know, to municipalities. It's not part of what he's done. So
no,
it's,
he hasn't been deflection. The one defunding police like the Republicans in the legislature. You know, as I look through the new financial reports here that have come in, I'm going to give you two things. You tell me which one is the more surprising or grotesque or however you want to describe it. You know how I just said that Tim Michaels put $5 million into his own campaign? He actually reported $5.4 million in receipts, in donations. So he put in $5 million. The other $0.4 came from into other people. And of that, half of that came from just 10 donors who made the maximum contribution of $20,000 to his campaign. And Kirk, I know you've done this through the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC with people who are donating to Congressman Tom Tiffany up there. It seems fair game to note here that among those who made the maximum contribution to Tim Michaels is Louis Gentine, the retired CEO of Sargento Foods, Dan Ahrens, the CEO of Ahrens Company, Dave Charles, president of Cash Depot, John Dykema, president of Campbell Wrapper Corporation in De Pere, Jeffrey Liebachen, the owner of a rent-to-own business in Eau Claire, Terrence Wall, a Middleton developer, and Michael Shannon, chairman of KSL Capital Partners in Denver. So that's the one thing. The other is the report from Rebecca Clefish, former lieutenant governor, and the money. She actually ended in the black. She has cash on hand after losing to Tim Michaels. But here's the reason why. She transferred $80,000 from Rebecca Pack to her personal campaign account. What is Rebecca Pack? Well, that's that thing that she set up early on that she said was to help Republican legislative candidates. So don't just give to me, give to Rebecca Pack, because I'm going to help all these other Republican legislators until I need it. And then I'm going to transfer. I mean, that is as Trumpian as it gets. That one catches me more than all the, you know, the business owners who maxed out going to Tim Michaels. But again, it was just a handful of people and his $5 million. That's all he's got for support.
Okay. So, Pat, you know cheese. I don't think I know cheese as much as you, but don't tell me Mon Mart. It doesn't come from Sargento, right? It's like who makes that Mon Mart cheese, which is my favorite in Wisconsin?
No idea. Nope. Now you're gonna have to go find out.
It's not Sargento makes the stuff that you in the packs, like that you just put on nachos, right? So it's not good cheese in Wisconsin. Thank God, because I can't boycott. I can boycott Sargento, but I can't boycott other cheese, whoever makes Mon Mart. Like, somebody needs to type this in the chat or something like that. Like,
right.
My favorite cheese.
And remember, we're people can make their own individual choices about what they want to patronize and what they don't. I, for example, have not had a single product from Hostess, you know, Twinkies and whatnot, you know, since they broke their union back in the day. But you've got to make that decision on your own. All we're doing is giving you information that might help you make that decision one way or the other. State Representative Evan Goyke joins us on the other side of the break. You're up north.
From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
He's different.
And don't care who knows it.
Something about him.
It's not the same, yeah.
Different is our theme this time around. Because a word like that can, it has a broad range. And different can be a rather innocent word, pointing out something that's unique. Individual, special. Different can also be cast with a cocked eyebrow and a wink, if you will. And that use of it has raised the dander, and rightly so, of our next guest, State Representative Evan Goyke, who, along with Senator Chris Larson and others, again, rightfully have called out the advertising that's being done in the U.S. Senate race here in Wisconsin, and not just the crime theme overall, but the way that Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is being portrayed. And so we wanted to talk a bit about that and other things with him for a brief visit here. Representative, good to see you.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So Representative Goyke, I called you a couple days ago because I had briefly seen in the news. I don't follow Milwaukee politics that much because we focus more on northern Wisconsin. But you and Chris Larson and a bunch of, I think, other representatives and senators, potentially, and activists in Milwaukee got together to protest or do a presser on the racism involved with the campaign, with the Senate campaign. Can you talk more about what you did and why you did it?
Yeah, thank you. Well, when I was yelling in my pajamas at the television, nobody was paying attention. So I decided time to go outside and elevate. You know, I get a soapbox as an elected official and I wanted to use it. Others wanted to use theirs with me or me with them to kind of call out what we're seeing. And there's a slew of ads. I mean, we knew this was going to be the most negative election cycle, and you know, it is. It's turned out to be that. But there is a certain brand, a certain vein of ads that clearly play on race that I thought deserved to be singled out, called out, and they should stop. It's not a debate about issues. It's a fear tactic and a divisive tactic. And you know, you introed me with using the word different. And that was the ad that got me really upset. You've got kind of a silhouettes of three congresswomen of color and Mandela Barnes saying that he's a different kind of Democrat. And they mean black. They mean not white. Because if they wanted to mean progressive, you'd see the faces of Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. Or people in Wisconsin might know Mark Polcan or Tammy Baldwin. You know, those are progressive members of the United States government, but they're not used on purpose.
Well, Evan, it turns out that you struck a nerve as well as others, because I don't know what's necessarily airing in your corner of the state, but yesterday I noticed basically the same ad, but now with Bernie Sanders thrown in as well. It says, you know, as if they knew that this was coming, that they had a defense ready to go so that they could feign, you know, shock, you know, like, oh, how could you say that about us? But, you know,
yeah,
so, that may not have happened had you and others not called attention to it.
So they have a B-roll ready. They have a different version of this ready, not using just women of color. I mean, you know, what an admission of guilt to what they did. And you know, you guys know this, and I think people are smart enough to understand. You can't just snap your fingers and get a TV ad put together that can run around the state. This is content that was drafted, filmed, and produced weeks ago. So the fact they've got a new one running means it's not new that they had it in their back pocket, but they chose to use one that only featured black and brown faces.
Yeah. So not only, so that I saw that one first as well. And that got my gander up, and I wrote about it for many days on end. I'm so happy you guys actually physically did something more than just be keyboard warriors like me. But the other one that I saw, I think the Milwaukee Journal ran it, was that there was a mailer. I don't know who it went to. I didn't get it. Actually, I think I might have gotten it. That had the Mandela Barnes's complexion was like way darker than his actual complexion was, which, and then they compared his actual complexion with the complexion on the mailer. And so it's like, who, like, obviously you're making the guy look more black than he is to scare people who are scared of black people, which are, you know, unfortunately too many white people in Wisconsin, if they think that's going to actually make a difference in this campaign.
Yeah, my understanding is that mailer was produced and paid for by the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin. And if they're sending you stuff, way to go. Like, that's, I hope that that's their targeting. Cause I mean,
they've never been good at targeting. Like, yeah, listen, I've been in politics long enough. They have enough money. They just don't care who they send it to. They just throw it to everybody.
But no, look, I mean, what you're saying is, I mean, they purposefully darkened the color of the skin of an African-American candidate for the United States Senate. And you can't get away with that without people speaking up and getting upset. And I hope part of my goal is to really, you know, sometimes, you know, Ron Johnson is such a universally disliked politician that you kind of can sometimes get lackadaisical about the election that's in front of us. And hopefully this is a wake up call to a lot of people that say, like, if we don't get organized and get going, you know, we could get stuck with this guy again.
Let me follow up, Pat. One thing, like, so Pat grew up in rural Wisconsin. I grew up in rural Wisconsin. Like, I don't think this is going to work because they think that we're all a bunch of racists in rural Wisconsin, and we're not. Like, we're good people up here, and we can see this for what it is. And I really think it's going to backfire because people know it's hatred. They know it's race baiting, and you don't have to live in Madison or Milwaukee to see this. So I know that they shouldn't be targeting us in rural Wisconsin with these ads because the good people of Wisconsin, even though we're white, know what's happening here.
Yeah, and I mean, we wouldn't have negative ads if they didn't work, but I think these ads are way over the line. You know, we used to refer to these things as dog whistle, right? Like, think of what a dog whistle is, not audible to human ears. This is not a dog whistle. This is a whistle. This is out loud, in your face, over the top. It's a bullhorn. And I think to many people, as you're saying, Kirk, you watch that and it's just, it's not us. It's not us. We don't do this. We don't divide. We don't treat people. We don't pay to darken the face of a black candidate. I mean, that's just not who we are.
So Ron Johnson was endorsed by the Milwaukee Police Association. And of course, it gave him another opportunity to talk about crime, to basically dismiss concerns about the advertising. It's Johnson who says, without any irony whatsoever, they have no problem playing the race card. It's very divisive, he said of Democrats. I guess Representative Goyke, I could ask if he's got any, you know, credibility whatsoever in saying it's Democrats who are being divisive and playing the race card. But I guess the more topical concern I have is that, look, any group can endorse whoever their members want to endorse. But with all of the talk about crime and just don't know how helpful it is for the Milwaukee Police Association to be endorsing somebody like Ron Johnson at a time when, you know, community relations could be better.
And I think it's an interesting point. And, you know, look, you're not hearing Ron Johnson articulate a plan to reduce crime. This is not it's not an issue he's trying to solve. He's trying to blame it on somebody else. And it's not Mandela Barnes' fault. It's not, it's complex and difficult. The police union themselves in Milwaukee has a long tradition of supporting conservative candidates. And, you know, it goes back from before my time in office. But remember, those are entities that retained their collective bargaining rights under Act 10. They were exempt from those changes when we had the uprising and recall in 2011 and 12. You know, they were carved out of that. And so there's been, you know, in my decade of service in the legislature, an allegiance with the Republicans, largely because of that. But this is a broader and more difficult conversation. Crime's tough to solve. If we had a magic wand, we'd wave it. But, you know, I want to point out a couple of things, and we're in the midst of a really difficult couple of years, specifically on the number of homicides within the city of Milwaukee. There are just too many guns available to too many people, and for a politician to stand up and say crime's a big issue and then feign any responsibility to take action and maybe even go on the other side to advocate for policies that proliferate gun ownership and gun accessibility is just crazy. You know, the vast majority of homicides in my neighborhood are committed by a gun, and there are people that shouldn't have them. And yet these Republican politicians refuse to close loopholes that make it harder for these guys to get guns. Well, give me a break. You know, I'm heated now again, even just thinking about, you know, saying this is the number one problem and then not being a part of the solution that's sitting at their feet.
There's also the related to crime, of course, is the whole topic of parole and pardons. And we've already seen Tim Michaels and Republicans either confuse the two or conflate them, you know, perhaps intentionally, because a governor pardons, but a governor doesn't parole. You know, a governor appoints the chair of the parole board, which only deals with people sentenced prior to the year 2000, when we changed right. The whole way we do sentencing here. So when you're paroling somebody that's already been in prison for a couple of decades, and they may be elderly at this point or what have you. But again, from the standpoint of a political strategy, talking about paroling people back on the street, and I guess even more importantly, I think intentionally confusing what it means to get rid of cash bail is, again, a way to confuse the voters that I would imagine somebody like you is almost working full time to explain to people how getting rid of cash bail would be the better way to go and has been proposed by Republicans in the past.
You know, Pat, do you know who eliminated cash bail for federal defendants, the federal criminal system?
Who?
Ronald Reagan, the Bail Reform Act of 1984, 2 years before Mandela Barnes was born. Ronald Reagan, and it was Strom Thurmond was the principal author in Congress. The federal government does not use cash bail. They hold people in a system called pretrial detention if they pose a danger or a flight risk. And people are let out if they don't under certain conditions and supervision, but not about how much money you pay. Mandela and I authored a bill in 2015 to adopt this federal type system. 15 is an important year. In 2014, New Jersey Republican Governor Chris Christie called a special session of the legislature. They passed a bipartisan bill in New Jersey to eliminate cash bail, and he signed into law. Chris Christie signed a bill in New Jersey eliminating cash bail, bipartisan bill. So Mandela and I, inspired by that bipartisanship, said, hey, this is a system that works for the federal government. It would work better for us here. It holds dangerous people in. It would do a better job of balancing individual liberties for people that don't pose a danger to the community. Let's do it. And now he's being slammed. The last thing I'll say on cash bail, Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator for 12 years. During that entire time, he has not lifted one finger to end pretrial detention or to restore cash bail in the federal system. So here's a guy criticizing Mandela for wanting to adopt the federal system when the federal elected official has done nothing to try to change that system. It's a do what I say, not as I do moment for Ron Johnson and his allies.
Well, it's obviously a way to deflect, a way to confuse, a way to put out a 10-second soundbite to a person he's running against who is a person of color, who's trying to connect with crime, which I hope so many Wisconsinites like me reject. the race baiting and reject the sound bite snippets that are simply lies.
Yep. And for that, Evan, we appreciate your time with us to help call attention to it. And, you know, we'll look forward to our next visit with you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. State Representative Evan Goyke joining us from Milwaukee. We will be back to wrap up the show right after this. You're up north.
All's different. That's how it goes. Ain't gonna play no boss man's game.
Before we check in with the hot-blooded Reverend Bangstad, let's tell you that tomorrow we will have both Joe Zepecki and Carolyn Fiddler as guests, and that we will not have a live show on Friday or on the following Monday, as we take a long weekend, so we'll get some best ofs. But tomorrow, Joe Zepecki and Carolyn Fiddler. And Mr. Mathers, what do we know about some of the other fine radio shows coming up on this ever-growing network?
Yeah, right at following this fine program on Bull Falls Radio and across the Civic Media Network and Amory and Richland Center, and then also on her flagship station, which she broadcasts from in the Shaw, Kristen Bry for As Goes Wisconsin will have Greg Bach joining her. He joins every Wednesday. He's a comedian from the Milwaukee, Waukesha area, and so he and Kristen will be going through kind of some of the Wisconsin headlines. There's a Milwaukee Comedy Festival that's coming up next week, so they're going to preview that event, where I believe both of them will be doing stand-up or taking some form of participation in the comedy event. I don't know the details, but if you tune into As Goes Wisconsin, you can find them out from 11 to 2 across Civic Media. And then later today on Dueling Tangents, I'm going to be joined by Sean Fetaplace of the Main Street Alliance, and Sean's going to be talking to me about all of the great work he's doing for small businesses. We've got a couple of gubernatorial and U.S. Senate debates that are coming up, and he's trying to organize some roundtables as well with the candidates to be able to ask them questions about what they would do for small businesses. And so Sean's going to be joining me and William Walter, who will be filling in on Dueling Tangents over the long weekend on Friday and Monday, will also drop by, and we'll get a chance to talk to William, who will be filling in for me.
And if you want to learn about this or anything else, go to civicmedia.us to learn about all the stations and shows that we do. All right, Mr. Bangstad, you told us sometimes you get worked up, you get a little hot-blooded. That's, you know, to have you on for 2 hours for the first time seems to underscore that there might be a need every so often to decompress.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, I always try to end with a little hope and a little, what can we do? You know, how can we try to be better in Wisconsin? And I have fallen prey. I mean, I am dealing with politics every day for the last 2 years with my company and with the Super PAC. And, you know, you make enemies if you're battling every single day. Sometimes you say something you wish you could take back. Sometimes you're like, wait, I'm getting way too angry here. And I think that's unfortunately how politics has gotten. It's how politics has been for hundreds of years, let's be honest. I ran against Rob Swearingen for assembly 2 years ago. His supper club, you know, he was anti-mask. His server got COVID, gave it to her husband. Her husband died. We ran against on that issue, saying I was pro-mask, he was anti-mask. There was problems there. His supper club recently caught on fire, and I internally was like, man, like that's karma, you know, like the guy, you know, didn't care about his customers. But externally, I wrote, that's karma. And I shouldn't have, because you know, you don't want to kick a guy when he's down. You know, his supper club just burned to the ground. So that was a time where I let politics and I let my anger about what's going on in Wisconsin kind of overrule what was right. And so, publicly, I'd like to apologize for doing that. But I just wanted to acknowledge that we have to step away from politics to do. And I see you sometimes, Pat, you post yourself laying on the hammock, looking at Lake Wissota, because you need to decompress as well. And I think you do a better job sometimes. What do you do to get your mind off of this stuff, man?
It's actually, you know, it's a very fair question for all of us, for anybody that's working in media, in politics, anything adjacent to politics, anything where you're up to speed on current events. And I say all the time that I understand that most people aren't this tuned in to politics, and that's not always a bad thing. I always wish more people were a little more tuned in than where they're at right now, but I don't expect anybody to be as dialed in as the narrow band of us that, you know, really feel passionate enough about this to do it full time, whether in politics or journalism, political journalism, advocacy, whatever the case is. And in every one of those instances, you have to have that backstop. Not just to support staff in the here and now, but what my wife and I found is it is always helpful to anticipate the next thing, the next moment, in our case, the next moment where you get to unplug and relax. When for the 3 years that we lived in Grand Cayman, and again, I'm very thankful that Ian wasn't worse, and I hope things weaken considerably before they get to Florida. But for those 3 years in Grand Cayman, we were essentially in a way, we were like a refugee camp, because we invited people to come down like the week after the election or the month after an election, and people took us up on it and, you know, realized the beach has magical healing powers. And whatever it is, ever since then, even prior to that for us, it was always anticipate something for after the election to decompress, because we've got to do this for 40 more days. I can do anything for 40 more days, but then after that, you have to have something to anticipate. So we've got, you know, a little something planned, and then of course I'd like to think I'm getting a little bit mellower with age now that I've got 4 grandkids. But you know, so there's a little bit in the present, but I think you always have to have that thing in the future. That's my coping mechanism. I don't know how yours would be different.
It's taking breaks. Like, you know, we took a break in August. I need to take long breaks, and I need to, weirdly, being by the ocean, like you said, I go surfing, and I can't go surfing in Wisconsin very often, so that's probably why I get madder than I need to, because I only can go surfing when I leave for an extended period of time. But that's, you know, go to the water, chill out, you know, stop thinking about politics all the time.
But you, Luke, you've taken on a talk show where you're talking about this for an hour every day. So now you've got to unplug.
Yeah. I find nature. It doesn't necessarily always have to be water, but part of what I'm doing this weekend, getting away, I'm going to go to a national park. I'm going to go stare at the night sky. I'm going to look at some, typically it's mountains for me. I love the mountains. So I'm not going to quite get out to a mountain range, but I'm going to go see a lot of, we're going out to the plain states. So I'm going to get some one with nature, do some hiking, get to see the night sky and breathe in a lot of fresh air. And I'm looking forward to it, because that's what I'm using to recharge and get ready for this next final stretch.
And I think there might be one other thing that I would encourage folks. We've talked about ways to get away, to isolate with yourself. I think it's also important, even though we have people who are making terrible choices out there and supporting people who are making terrible choices, we still need to have that compassion and love for our neighbors as much as humanly possible. So I guess I would add as well the component of service. It's something I've kind of let lag lately, but I've gotten back involved with one nonprofit that's building tiny houses to help with the homeless community up here in the Chippewa Valley. I'm looking at joining a Rotary Club just for the service projects, so we can remember that we are one community, that we can have disagreements, but that, you know, if we're not looking out for one another, you know, beyond those, then we're not being true to ourselves, no matter what vacations we plan. Kirk, thanks so much. Appreciate it. See you next week.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right. Everybody else have a great day. We'll see you Thursday.